and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A mass shooting in Midtown Manhattan.
I heard all these loud bangs. No idea what it was. I turned around, all these people were like running.
Police say the gunman walked into the lobby of a skyscraper that houses NFL headquarters in New York and began firing, killing four people. CBS's Bradley Blackburn is outside 345 Park Avenue.
We know they include a security guard and an NYPD officer, a married father of two whose wife is now expecting their third child. This morning, so many families are grieving and the entire city is trying to make sense of this attack that played out in the heart of Manhattan.
Mayor Eric Adams says the gunman died of an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. Police Commissioner Jessica Tisch.
The shooter is believed to be Shane Tamora, a 27-year-old male with a Las Vegas address. The vehicle he exited is registered in Nevada to Mr. Tamora.
Police say the suspect had a history of mental health issues. President Trump's new deadline for a ceasefire in Ukraine didn't stop a deadly new Russian attack that hit a prison in the southeast. The BBC's Jonathan Beal.
Officials in Zaporizhia say Russian forces struck the frontline region with eight glide bombs overnight. They say the strikes caused the destruction of buildings at a local prison, with dozens of casualties. It's not yet clear how many of those killed were inmates and how many were prison staff.
Yesterday, Mr. Trump narrowed his 50-day deadline for a ceasefire to 10 to 12 days. The president doubling down on calls for Israel to facilitate more aid deliveries into Gaza. CBS's Weijia Jiang.
He said, you know, just look at the children who are starving in Gaza. And he agreed that there needs to be more humanitarian aid, more points of entry allowed to get food and supplies.
He's just traveling with the president in Scotland, where he will dedicate a new golf course to his late mother in Aberdeen today. It'll be another scorcher of a day from the Gulf Coast up to New England. This kid in Wisconsin Rapids found relief at a local pool.
It's absolutely steaming hot. I don't know how hot it is, but it is hot.
It hit 98 in New York City yesterday. Several cities in the Northeast could break records today. A Chicago Cubs Hall of Famer has died.
Do you believe it? It's gone!
Sandberg, in the Cubs' last at-bat, has twice delivered a game-tying home run.
Second baseman Ryne Sandberg, the 1984 National League MVP, a 10-time All-Star. Last year, he announced he had metastatic prostate cancer. Ryne Sandberg was 65. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers back in first place. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with an 8-4 win over the Cubs in Milwaukee. That put the Brewers back in first place, a game ahead of Chicago. Cubs lefty Matthew Boyd had been the hottest pitcher in the league, but gave up 5 earned runs off of 6 hits in 5 innings pitched. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I don't think Boyd had his best stuff. We took our walks. You don't see him walking that many guys in a game ever. So I love that part of it. What a day for Contreras and Yelich to come up big.
NFL Packers training camp continues today in Green Bay. In Madison, the Wisconsin Badgers packing up the team bus, headed to UW-Platteville to begin training camp. Defensive coordinator Mike Tressel on what he told his players.
Talk about our defensive objectives. Our guys have looked at every single day since spring ball. These are the numbers that put you in the top 10 defense in the nation in each of those areas.
That's Badgers defensive coach Mike Tressel with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Increasing clouds and showers and storms developing in the overnight. Heavy rainfall our biggest concern, and morning lows in the upper 60s. On Tuesday, showers, a few storms around, partly sunny skies with a northwest wind, highs in the lower 80s, currently 65 degrees.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, he is the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Pat joining us tomorrow after 9:35 to break down all Wisconsin news. We'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hello. How's it going, everyone? It's Civic Media producer Dominic here to tell you that Pete is away for tonight. So with that being said, let's enjoy some of the best segments during his time in Madison last week. And stay tuned for tomorrow night's show. With that all being said, have a great night.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who thinks outside the box and hates cliches, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. I am Pete Schwabba. Great to have you with me on this Monday night as we kick off Act 2 here. If you missed the first hour, my guest, and is still my guest, John Roach is here. We talked about his movie, A Road at Night, a great watch. We'll get back into that in just a second. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite junk food? It is National Junk Food Day, and we are asking people to tell us, share with us, the food you cannot say no to, even though you know that you should. We've had some great answers. So be part of the show and chime in and let us know what your favorite junk food is. I will be here in Madison all week, folks, live from Civic Media headquarters here. Conrad is holding down the fort back in Green Bay. And in the second hour here, in just a few minutes, we'll have Rocker from Max Inc. Radio, the award-winning Max Inc. Radio, will be here in studio. We'll be talking about Atwood Fest, which takes place this weekend on the East Side. Good food, great music, and some cool East Side vibes. We'll talk to Rocker in just a bit. Right now, I'm excited to get back into my interview here with John Roach. He's a producer, a writer, and a director. His film, A Road at Night, we just talked at length about, although not enough about. And we're going to jump into some talk about a film he wrote called The Straight Story. He co-wrote it with Mary Sweeney, and David Lynch directed it. So what a what a thrill that must have been, John.
It was tremendous. You know, I always say the adage is be nice to the girl who sits next to you at Catholic grade school, because it, you know, in the very early goings, Mary was the moving force, you know?
Yeah.
And as someone who, you know, wrote a lot, to write a screenplay with an editor, that is a really good idea. Because Mary had the understanding of structure. I mean, she's a good writer too, but she had the understanding of structure and flow and when to let it breathe. And you know, we wrote the first draft, the first scene outline, the first draft in Mary and David's compound in the Hollywood Hills. And I would get up in the morning, and, you know, I was on Midwest time and I get up early in the Midwest. So right. I was up at 4:30 having coffee at the Sunset Marquee while all the vampires were coming in off of Sunset. And then I get up to Mary's place, you know, at 8-ish, I don't know. And then we would write all day. And the great thing about writing in David Lynch's, artistic compound is there's always good coffee available. And, you know, we were just jamming on coffee. And I think we wrote for 8 days straight. And we did a survey of Iowa prior to that. We had notes and research and all. And and it was just, you know, it was as great an artistic experience as you could have as some guy from Wisconsin. You know, we premiered at Cannes. You know, my wife and I walked up the red steps.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was a joy to, you know, it was a joy to see David work. You know, he just brought out the best in everyone, Mary and myself included.
I can't even imagine. All right. So The Straight Story, for those of you who don't know, before I knew it was about a person named Straight, I used to call it The Straight Story, or The Straight Story, once I knew it was about Richard Farnsworth character, Alvin Strait, it's The Strait Story.
Right, so, that is the correct pronunciation.
Yeah, so it's this great movie that was shot in Iowa and Wisconsin around 1999. If you haven't seen it, Richard Farnsworth plays the lead actor who drives a tractor from Iowa, because he doesn't have a driver's license, to Wisconsin to visit his ailing brother. Just this movie, he was Oscar nominated.
He was nominated for Best Actor.
Yeah.
He lost to Kevin Spacey for American Beauty.
God, I bet people would love a redo on that one. God.
Yeah. He did win Best Actor for the Independent Spirit Awards, though, so okay. That was nice.
And he was nominated for the Golden Globes, too, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So this movie is packed with charm and heart and great acting. Sissy Spacek is in it. Harry Dean Stanton, Chris Farley's brothers.
Got I didn't Kevin catch that Johnny.
The first time. Yeah. I was like, Farley, wait a minute. So this is just such a fun movie. And I just rewatched it over the weekend. It totally holds up. Did David Lynch commission you guys to write this? Or was it your idea that you took
Mary
to him?
No, Mary and I wrote it on spec. Mary had been editing in Hollywood for, you know, over a decade, I think. She was an assistant editor on Warren Beatty's Reds. She was an assistant editor on Blue Velvet and said, hey, I'm working on this film with this guy named David Lynch, and hold on to your hat. And then she became an editor on Twin Peaks. At the same time, I was producing in Chicago and eventually developed my own. I was at ABC and CBS in Chicago and eventually did specials for the CBS-owned stations, and then developed some of my own programming for syndication, of which one of them was one you like, the Sports Writers on TV. And Mary came to visit me when I was doing broadcast work, you know, and she was going, wow, everything happens really fast here compared to a movie.
Yeah.
But Mary called me. Being an editor can be tedious work. And I think Mary wanted, she wanted a broader stance. She wanted a broader skill set. So she said, do you want to write a screenplay with me? And I said, of course. Yeah, why not? And I had dabbled in it prior.
But you're this producer of TV in Chicago.
Right.
Were you guys that good of friends where she just knew you'd be a sharp writer in a totally different medium?
Well, or we were it was strange because we were friends, you know, in a time where, you know, boys and girls didn't always have friendships.
Yeah.
You know, the guys ran, but also our families were friends for generations.
Okay.
So we, you know, my dad knew her dad, and I played ball with her brothers in high school. So we're both townies. We were both townies in Madison. And again, you know, West Side Irish Catholic, everyone knew each other, you know?
Okay.
And so, and I do think we were friends as it turned out, because we both went into similar field later in our lives, you know, even though it's kind of a high school jock. I was also in the high school plays. You know, I always had that artistic side going on. So anyhow, so she said, do you want to write a screenplay? I said, sure. I said, what are we going to write it about? And she goes, let's let it simmer. And I may be wrong, but I think within 3 weeks she faxed me. This was during the era of fax. The internet was just starting to get its legs underneath it. This story in the Washington Post and New York Times about this old man riding his lawnmower across Iowa to see his brother. And I drove out to his endpoint, you know, and just kind of soaked up the vibes. And I said, Mary, yeah. And both Mary and I, you know, when you grew up in Wisconsin, when we did, you're literally 5 minutes from a farm field.
Right.
And so that rural lifestyle and those rural people, Mary's dad, Vince, was one of three or four Irish brothers who had grew up on a farm in Oregon, the city of Oregon outside of Madison.
Okay.
And they were Irish farm boys. So, and I worked on farms baling hay to get in shape for high school football for 3 summers out in Barneveld for the good Bunbury family. So, this was the people we were writing about were not strangers to us all. And we talked about our dads a lot, because Alvin was a man of another generation, but it was the generation from whence our fathers came.
John Roach is my guest. He is the co-writer of The Strait Story that he wrote with his pal Mary Sweeney, very talented editor, producer, and writer, and was directed by David Lynch. It's a must-see, folks. If you know, everybody is looking for content to watch, and this film came out in 99. It holds up. I just watched it. Two things I have that really I just love about the film, and it's one of a younger person that Alvin encounters on his journey from Iowa to Wisconsin on a John Deere tractor. Says
riding more.
Yes. He says, what's the worst thing about being old? And Alvin, I'm paraphrasing, says that I can remember when I was young.
The worst thing about getting old is remembering when you were young.
That is so.
And you know, resonant. I handed that line, and I used to. I have a cabin up in the North Woods, outside of Minocqua, and I had this vivid dream. I mean, you know, we both wrote. You know, we both wrote the screenplay, but I remember the feeling of that line. I never sleep anywhere other than in a bed. I don't sleep on planes. I don't sleep in cars. You know, but somehow when we built this little cabin up north, we had this green leather chair. We have no TV. You know, we have quiet music and books. And I would sometimes fall asleep in that chair, not at bedtime. And I would have these, you know, moments where I was kind of dreaming and kind of awake. And I remember having one dream where all of a sudden I really felt like I was 18 years old again. And when I woke up, you know, I was 48 and I felt sad about that.
Yeah.
And I just remember that feeling, you know, to remember when my legs worked.
I can't go out and just run around for no reason.
I remember when I would run across a football field and feel like I was flying.
Yeah.
Right. And now, you know, getting out of a chair is a big ass deal.
You're going to pay the price. The other thing, there's another great scene too, which is really the gist of what Alvin's been dealing with his whole adult life since World War II, because he's a veteran in the film, is the story he tells another veteran at the bar. And I don't want to spoil it.
Right.
But what a beautiful bit of acting by Richard Farnsworth. Oh. And the story came out of nowhere. So I tip of my hat for you guys, because it
Thank
all
you.
Starts with the script. As great as David Lynch was, and he was phenomenal.
Unbelievable. God rest his soul.
Yes.
As they say, as the Catholics would say, may perpetual light shine upon him.
But you can't, I don't care how great a director is or a producer or an actor. I mean, an actor to some degree that can improv a show and be entertained,
but
it all starts with the script. And you guys crushed it.
Okay, so I would argue, aside from the Academy Award nomination for Richard, and, you know, Mary and I got nominated for Best First Screenplay, and we lost to Charlie, whatever his name is, who wrote Being John Malkovich,
Charlie Kaufman.
Yeah. Which, so that's a worthy opponent,
wow,
right?
Yeah, no kidding.
And I think the most powerful thing for me, and I knew David. I mean, I was, you know, more than just an acquaintance with him, because he and Mary would summer in Wisconsin. I'd take him golfing.
So were they married? Or just
they were
significant others?
Yeah, significant others.
For
and
how
they
long?
Had a child together, Riley.
Oh, okay.
For well over a decade.
No kidding.
The thing that I feel, and I said this to Mary, I think the most important thing or most powerful thing we did through that whole thing is we wrote a screenplay that turned David Lynch's head. And by the way, looking at that screenplay and that subject matter, people have to accept this as truth, because neither Mary nor I thought Dave would have anything to do with this project.
Yeah, right.
At all. It was, I sometimes think that Mary liked the project because it was unlike the stuff she'd been doing with David.
Right.
Right? And it couldn't have been simpler. And David said, you know, the emotion is what appealed to him, you know, and it's, you have to remember too, David grew up close to the country. You know, he grew up in Montana. He was an Eagle Scout. He went to art school in Philadelphia and was amazed by how freaked out he was by that urban environment. But David was not, and look where Twin Peaks is set, you know, a mountain town in the Northwest. So that's a milieu that he was not uncomfortable with, right? I mean, I think that spoke to him in his youth.
It's interesting because Twin Peaks, we just have about a minute left, unfortunately,
sure.
John, but it's so different because The Straight Story is shot kind of like an indie film. And you talk about an editor letting it breathe.
Oh.
The whole movie breathes.
Yeah.
It's like one deep breath. It's beautiful. But Twin Peaks is every shot. It's like a painting.
Yeah.
They're so different. Like, that's a testament to David Lynch.
Also, Angelo Badalamenti's score for The Straight Story is a thing of beauty. It is just so beautiful.
All right, we're going to have to save our sports writers talk for next time.
Next
There's always
we'll,
something we
we'll
kick down the road.
We'll talk about next time and we'll light up some cigars.
I know. My kindred spirit here, John Roach. Thank you, sir. Always
hey,
fun.
Pete,
we'll do it again.
Great seeing you, and let's have a beer.
Did my movie line make the poster?
Yes.
Yes. All right. I'm very excited about that. All right. John Roach, he'll be back, folks. I almost said round of applause, but it's just Rocker here. Even if he clapped for you, we wouldn't hear him through the glass. But and keep us posted about A Road at Night, too.
We'll do,
all right,
for
fantastic.
Sure.
Fantastic. Rocker is coming up next, folks. We're going to talk Atwood Fest. Don't go anywhere and send us your texts. It's Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
locally grown radio, WFHR.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hello, how's it going, everyone? It's Civic Media producer Dominic here to tell you that Pete is away for tonight. So with that being said, let's enjoy some of the best segments during his time in Madison last week. And stay tuned for tomorrow night's show. With that all being said, have a great night.
Welcome back. This is Pete Schwabe in Nightlight. Talking movies and TV and Woody Harrelson and Stephen Colbert and South Park. Oh, if those guys are still on the air in 2 days, I'll be surprised. But that was unbelievable. And lots going on. Chuck B and Joni passed away. We covered a lot of stuff tonight. We still got a ways to go here. And one of our faves is about to join us here. He is the Chief Artistic Experiences Director over at the Overture Center, which happens to be right across the street here. And his name is Tim Sowers. Hey, Tim, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you. Great to have you, as always.
Are you watching the Wicked crowd go into the theater?
Here's where I'm at with the Wicked crowd. The other night I pulled into the parking, which I have free parking, but I got charged $10 for event parking because of your production, Tim, and Wicked. So you owe me $10. Right. Bucks. That's how I'm
Wicked dealing. Is so popular. It's still so popular.
It's unbelievable. Is it? I mean, it's got to be sold out
really
every night, right?
Yeah. And this is like our, third time Wicked was here. Wicked was the show that was on our stage when COVID hit.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And so it's the last rescheduling from COVID 4 years later, 5 years later, whatever it is.
Is that right? Wow.
But it's crazy. They take good care of the show and people love it. And it didn't hurt that the movie just came out and was a big success. And
yeah, I have to say it's fun whenever I'm here, whatever show you guys have, you do so well with. It's just there's great energy. I'm walking amongst people that are going to see a show and they're excited and it's such a beautiful facility.
Well, so. You know, one of it is they don't have to go anywhere, right? Like it's the same show that's in Chicago. It's the same show that's in Minneapolis. And it's nice that people are really happy that these shows come here because they don't have to travel to go see it if they don't want to.
Absolutely. Well, that's good news. I'm sure. And you guys have so much going on over there. And I laughed when Sherry told me, is it okay if Tim does this over the stream because he doesn't want to fight wicked traffic?
I don't want to fight wicked people trying to find a place to park.
That was great. I'm like,
that's terrible. I'm terrible. But
and I assume you have a parking spot over there that says Tim Sowers on it. No?
No, I don't have a parking spot. I park in that garage, too. When I drive, I could have walked it, but it's too hot.
You got to renegotiate, buddy. You need your own parking spot. All right. So let's jump in. You got some great stuff coming up. I'm going to be honest. Here's a full disclosure. I don't get, and I have this discussion with my daughter all the time. She's a musical theater major in college, and I've seen all of her shows. I am not the world's biggest Stephen Sondheim fan. I don't get a lot of his stuff. I feel like he's like David Lynch sort of stage. But you do have a really... go ahead.
He's complicated.
Yeah.
His stuff is complicated. And you have to really, when you watch one of his shows, you have to really pay attention.
I should probably put my phone down.
You have to kind of really pay attention to it because it's a complicated piece. But Assassins, as we're going to talk about.
Yeah, that looks I will say that looks really cool. There's a great poster you guys have.
Actually, it's a cool piece. It's about all of the people who tried to assassinate presidents.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Really?
And it's Capital City Theater is putting out, and they're one of the local musical theater companies in town. And it's like a... It's one of his lesser known pieces, really. It's you know, do I like it? Yeah. It's different.
Yeah. Like a lot of his stuff. But is that kind of a newer show, Tim? I've never heard of that. Not that I've heard of everything, but.
No, I don't know when it came out, but it's been around for quite a while.
Okay.
It wasn't a big hoopla show like his Into the Woods and Sunday in the Park with George and all of his really big ones. It wasn't really one of his big ones. It was more of an off-Broadway kind of show, a smaller show. I think it's only, I don't know, I haven't seen it in a long time, but I think it's only one act. I think it's only like a 90-minute show.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. And that's a local people?
That's a local, Capital City Theater. They are local and do a couple of shows with us every year in our venue. And, summertime, we have more of an availability to be able to have local artists come in and do their work.
Yeah. We're going to do a very fast break here in just a couple of minutes. So I don't want to get fully into all the Broadway shows, but we'll do that after the news. But I have to ask you, do you have a favorite Woody Harrelson movie or role?
I do. It's either Three Billboards. Do you know that movie?
Oh, yeah, with Frances McDormand, sure.
Yeah, and Sam Rockwell, which was
love Sam Rockwell.
Crazy. I know I love it. Do you watch White Lotus? He was crazy funny. He was the best part of the whole season, I thought.
It's so funny you were saying that about him, and I was like, I just saw him in something where he was so crazy, and I forgot it was White Lotus.
So funny. I love him in everything he does.
I do too, but that was like a side, that was like a miniseries off of a miniseries.
It was like he was just having fun, right?
It was so great.
And I also like, I'll say The People versus Larry Flint.
Oh, nice pull. Yeah, he was great in that too.
Right. He was Oscar nominated for both of them.
Yeah. He's just a guy that, like, I think he's a really talented actor, but I also think
so much so.
People just like him. They want to work with him. They want him in their movie because he's just seems like a good guy and a guy that's easy to have around.
Yeah, I agree.
Tim Sowers is here. When we do the when we come back after this very short news break, we're going to talk to Tim about all the upcoming Broadway shows they have right across the street here at the Overture Center. That's coming up next. Nightlight with Pete Schwab on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
CBS News Brief. Police in New York City say a gunman walked into a Park Avenue office building and killed four people, including an NYPD officer, before turning the gun on himself. Mayor Eric Adams.
Tonight we mourn for those who were killed, and we pray for the families as they go through this painful moment.
More than 20 people are dead after a new Russian strike on a site on the Ukrainian city of Zaporizhia. The BBC's Jonathan Beal.
The strikes caused the destruction of buildings at a local prison. Russia, like Ukraine, claims it only strikes military targets.
Cubs fans are mourning the loss of Hall of Famer Ryne Sandberg.
He meant a lot to this city, you know, after he played. I mean, he was an ambassador for the team.
He was the Cub sauce, right? Like, he was every kid's hero.
Sandberg's died at the age of 65, a year after announcing he had metastatic prostate cancer. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
The Brewers back in first place. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with an 8-4 win over the Cubs in Milwaukee. That put the Brewers back in first place, a game ahead of Chicago. Cubs lefty Matthew Boyd had been the hottest pitcher in the league, but gave up 5 earned runs off of 6 hits in 5 innings pitched. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I don't think Boyd had his best stuff. We took our walks. You don't see him walking that many guys in a game ever. So I love that part of it. What a day for Contreras and Yelich to come up big.
NFL Packers training camp continues today in Green Bay. In Madison, the Wisconsin Badgers packing up the team bus, headed to UW-Platteville to begin training camp. Defensive coordinator Mike Tressel on what he told his players.
Talk about our defensive objectives. Our guys have looked at every single day since spring ball. These are the numbers that put you in the top 10 defense in the nation in each of those areas.
That's Badgers defensive coach Mike Tressel with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Phineas and Ferb are coming back in 2026. Season 5 is currently on the air, but it's being called a revival. At Comic-Con last week in San Diego, the producers celebrated said revival of the Disney show, which launched 10 new episodes June 5th, and announced that the next batch of episodes will drop next year. Phineas and Ferb debuted in 2007, but went off the air in 2015. The USA Network has announced it has canceled Resident Alien, despite the show carving out a nice following over its 4 seasons. The announcement was made right before the season 4 finale last week. The sci-fi comedy is about an alien who is also a doctor in a small town and tries to conceal his identity. The show is based on a book of the same title. Executive producer Chris Sheridan says he wasn't totally caught off guard by the surprise, and for what it's worth, says the season 4 finale episode is his favorite of the whole series. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Increasing clouds and showers and storms developing in the overnight. Heavy rainfall our biggest concern, and morning lows in the upper 60s. On Tuesday, showers, a few storms around, partly sunny skies with a northwest wind, highs in the lower 80s. It's 66 at our studios.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapaho way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us next time for a very special live show from Six Springs Farm in southwest Wisconsin as we talk to NFL and Badger Hall of Famer Joe Thomas, along with Brady Ewing as my guest co-host.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hello. How's it going, everyone? It's Civic Media producer Dominic here to tell you that Pete is away for tonight. So with that being said, let's enjoy some of the best segments during his time in Madison last week. And stay tuned for tomorrow night's show. With that all being said, have a great night.
Time to check out original music with Bar Band Friday on Nightlight. Now your host, Pete Schwabba, and special guest, Terry Barr.
Oh, this is one of my favorite times of the week, folks, with one of my favorite guests of the week. See how that works out? It just all lines up. And it's a Friday. It's like Christmas Day here at the end of the week. It is my pleasure to welcome one of, as I said, my favorite guests, not just on Nightlight, but on any show. You know what? She's even a great house guest. She's just a great guest. So if you ever have her over, she's keep that in mind. She's one of the hosts of Max Inc. Radio here on WMDX in Madison and our Wisconsin music expert, Terry Barr, joins me now for Bar Band Friday. Hello,
happy,
Terry.
Happy Friday to you, Pete, and to everyone joining us.
Yes, Aaron Sommers sitting in for the K-Man tonight. He's been a big help here, too, so this is great that the three of us get to spend this time together. And are you having a good day? How's it going, Terry?
You know, when you hit Friday, it's always a good day, right? You know,
absolutely.
You feel like, okay, I have done as much as I can this week, and it's Friday. It's Friday night. It has to be done.
Do you?
It's time for a break.
We were just talking before we came on about all the things you do at Civic Media. Like, do you work on the weekends, or do you work your butt off during the week and say, I'm done, I'm taking 2 days? I tend to work all the time. Like, I have no hours, and I've heard that's not good, but what do you do? What's your approach?
Yeah. You know what, then? You and I are the same.
Okay.
I tend to also never turn it off.
Yeah.
The only time I really am able to not look at my phone, not do anything on the computer, is if I'm actually far away. And that gives me the excuse that, oh, maybe my Wi-Fi isn't working right now. It's something like that. Or I'm off and you need to leave me alone.
No, I get it. That makes perfect sense.
Well,
it is a Bar Band Friday night. Our question, Terry, tonight is favorite Wisconsin lake. Do you have one?
I do. I grew up in northeast central Wisconsin, so I'm going to say my favorite lake is Shawano Lake.
Nice.
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me. You have a
beautiful beach.
Yeah.
And a lot of really fun supper clubs and bars, restaurants all around it. And it was one of those I remember as a kid. Now they're open and remodeled again and doing live music again. So as you can imagine, it was one of my favorite spots. They would have live music out on a dock
on
Shawano Lake.
I love that.
Best.
Yeah, that's so great. That's a great lake and a great choice. And again, I'm not surprised to know you have a long history there with Shawano. Hey, I have to give you another shout out too, because yesterday, 2 days ago, I'm sorry, on Wednesday, Kaylin Cole came in again. It just happened that she was in Madison and she said, I have a new song dropping in 2 days. You know, do you want to do a preview? And I said, absolutely. So she is so fun. She brought her mom, who is not her manager. We established that, but,
Not the momager,
not the momager. No, but, Kaylin is so much fun. And she played the song Mistreated Right, which I guess comes out tomorrow or on actually today, I think. And she played it acoustically in the studio. But then she played the produced version in a file on Wednesday night. And what a great song. And thank you again for introducing us.
I'm so glad that she thinks of you and to go on your show and to preview a song that isn't even out. That is amazing. So I guess if I want to listen to this, I need to go back to the podcast on our website on Wednesday to find
it. Yes. And it sounds great. The composition of it is great. It's very well produced. And you know, as you know, she's a very fun guest. So, yes, thank
she's
you so
terrific.
Much. Yeah.
Nice.
Well, let's talk. Let's get to some Bar Band Friday fun stuff here. We've got an artist tonight that you're introducing us to, Dana Perry. I'm not familiar with her work, but I'm sure I will be in about 10 minutes. And I heard the songs you sent. She's great. Tell us all about Dana Perry.
She is just one of those that does everything on the music scene. She is a teacher. She books artists. I think they're up to three times a week now at a place known as Cargo Coffee. It's on East Washington in Madison.
Okay.
She also assists as an instructor at Girls Rock Camp and Ladies Rock Camp. And then she just took on the new role as executive director of the Madison Area Music Association. She's very familiar with the group because she already has won 15 of those Madison Area Music Awards. So she knows what she's doing. And she has 7 original music albums out.
Wow. Yeah, I saw that. I saw that 15-time winner.
Yeah.
Of the Madison Area Music Awards. She won Acoustic Guitarist of the Year in 2019, Folk Americana Performer of the Year in 2020, and Best Female Vocalist in 2021. Just to name 3 of the 15. That's incredible.
Right. Here's something very fun, Pete. You know, Coldplay was in town a week ago.
Sure.
They decided to get a hold of the Madison Area Music Association and make a wonderful donation to the organization. A whole bunch of keyboards, brand new keyboards, full size, still in the box, donated to the mamas. Dana is the one that got to go pick them up. And we are now going to look for kids that maybe couldn't afford a keyboard, maybe a school that their keyboards are broken.
Wow.
So that's really the heart of what this organization does. And Dana is now the heartbeat of it. She really is.
That is really cool. And it's,
isn't that something?
It's good to know that Coldplay is known for something other than outing people who are cheating on each other, at least here in Madison now.
Yep. Oopsie.
You know what would have been really funny is if you were unaware of what happened at the Coldplay concert a couple weeks ago. That would have been really funny. You had no idea what I was talking about.
Yeah. And I bet there's still maybe a few, but probably not very many.
Right. All right. So Dana Perry calls herself an Evo folk artist. What is that?
I think Evo for her means she's always evolving.
Okay.
You could go back and listen to really early songs, and it's almost like simple folk music. But as she started to find her groove and find what the music means to her, wow. I mean, she stepped up her guitar playing. She has this amazing rhythm where it sounds like it's more than one guitar, or sometimes she makes her guitar sound like a drum. So she's playing guitar and tapping on it. I've only seen 2 other musicians be able to sort of pull that off. She could do that as a solo artist, which makes her music sound that much bigger.
Okay.
Or she can do it with a band that just kind of gives it that extra oomph, I would say.
Okay, well, let's get to a song, right? What do you say?
Yes.
All right,
yes,
so this is Dana Perry. We're going to play Tunes and Conversation first. Is that cool? Okay.
That sounds great.
All right, fantastic. Here is Dana Perry by way of Terry Barr on a Bar Band Friday night and the song Tunes and Conversation.
Song's gonna taste so good. Been feeling this groove in my tum-tum, urging this body to move. Now I got this melody, it's been singing to me, and I'll sing it to you if you want me to. Don't mind me, just gonna leave a few tunes right here. I don't mind you turning back to your conversation. I can see you tapping your toes as you carry on sipping your beer. Did you notice you're nodding in time as you're chatting along, saying, yeah, man, I feel that. So I'll just sing a little melody right into the noise, and we'll fill the air with tunes and conversation. Sing a little melody right into the moment, and we'll fill the air with tunes and conversation. Thank you.
worked so hard to fit these words inside that melody. And you worked so hard all week just to get yourself here tonight. So why not put it all down and meet me here inside this song? Raise a glass and toast to the magic of sound. Can you hear that ringing out in key? So I'll just sing a little melody right into the noise, and we'll fill the air with tunes and conversation. Sing a little melody right into the moment, and we'll fill the air with tunes and conversation.
Song.
Yeah.
I love the ambiance of that. It really does make you feel like you're in a coffee house. That's great.
Absolutely. Yeah. That one's really fun, isn't it? Yeah.
And I think in her bio on her website, it says she's just as comfortable playing a festival as she is in a coffee shop or with friends. I mean, I just love artists like that.
Absolutely. You know, and she plays solo, as I had mentioned to you. She has a band as well. And she recently formed a, they're called the Prairie Flowers, brand new on the local music scene, three women together, and they all play instruments, and the harmony, I've been told, is amazing. So I can't wait to see the Prairie Flowers with Dana.
Yeah, and how many, well, it'll be interesting to see how many more mommies she has in her future. That's pretty impressive.
Lots of awards.
Yeah. So we have another song of hers we'll play after this very short break. Please don't go anywhere, folks. It's Bar Band Friday Night. Terry Barr is here. She's our Wisconsin music expert and one of the co-hosts of Max Inc. Radio on WMDX here in Madison. So we have a few more minutes with Terry when we come back. And the song connection coming up right after this quick break. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. Aaron Zommers behind the board tonight. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We reported recently that the Trump administration's DOJ requested complete voter records from 12 states. Minnesota just refused to cooperate. In Florida, there's a decision in a court case over the city of Miami's proposed postponement of a city election. First to Minnesota, where the Secretary of State's office notified the Trump administration's Department of Justice that it would not comply with its request to turn over all voter records from the 2020 and 2024 elections, including voting and registration records.
The office's general counsel said DOJ failed to provide legal justification for the request and did not specify how the data would be secured. DOJ has requested records from 11 other states, including Alaska, Arizona, Florida, Nevada, New Hampshire, New York, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and Wisconsin. New Hampshire has also refused to comply, citing state privacy statutes. In June, the Miami City Commission voted to delay city elections from November 2025 to November 2026. It would extend Miami's commissioner and term-limited mayor by a year and was called a power grab. After mayoral candidate Emilio Gonzalez sued, a Miami-Dade County judge ruled July 21st that the city commission could not move the election without voter approval, according to the Miami Herald. We've linked to Minnesota's letter to DOJ and local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
From newspaper to radio to magazine to podcast, the way we get our information has grown, and now so has Midday Magazine. Our longtime beloved show has grown to become the Rapids Report. Now exclusively available online, listen at 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, where it's streaming at WFHR.com. Catch up on previous episodes and spread the word. Midday Magazine is now the Rapids Report, streaming weekdays at 4 at WFHR.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Have you ever found yourself asking,
what's a good recipe for cookies my kids will love?
How do I avoid giving my guests food poisoning?
How would a restaurant chef prepare this meal?
If so, then tune into The Kitchen's Open, the show within the morning show each Monday morning at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. I'll tackle topics, teach techniques, or tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners. The Kitchen's Open. We'll tell you something good.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hello, how's it going, everyone? It's Civic Media producer Dominic here to tell you that Pete is away for tonight. So with that being said, let's enjoy some of the best segments during his time in Madison last week. And stay tuned for tomorrow night's show. With that all being said, have a great night.
So I know that's Chuck Mangione, but I have to admit, this is embarrassing. I only know Feels So Good.
Honestly, me too.
Terry, do you know this song?
This one I am not familiar with. Oh, no.
Aaron, going to the B-sides. I love it. Hey, welcome back to Nightlight. This is Pete Schwab. I'm joined tonight by my co-host here on Friday nights for this segment, Terry Barr for Barr Band Friday Night. And we're talking about an artist called Dana Perry, and she's... she's great. We just heard the song Tunes in Conversation, and we should probably play this before we run out of time and then finish our discussion about Dana. Sound good, Terry?
Sounds great, Pete. Let's All right. do it.
So we have the song Connection. This is also Dana Perry, and we will discuss the song after we hear it.
Acceptance of our power and worth. We're all creators, and it's time I embrace new skin. Everything is safe now, gotta make a move. Nobody told me that I could feel so strong. What am I fearing? Why do I worry? I can't be afraid to feel the
is beautiful. Of reality through frequency and harmony with this guitar. We're living in a world that's interactive, and we're deserving of the life we choose. Relax into your vessel and leave no room for doubt. If you want an answer, you gotta ask the question. Nobody told me that I could feel so strong. What am I fearing? Why do I worry at all? 'Cause I can feel that connection now. I don't know how I know, but I know that I can't be afraid to feel this beautiful.
She's just like, I just kind of want to talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
Is that weird? Like
no,
listening to
not
her
at
lyrics.
All.
She'd probably be fun to have a cup of coffee with.
Soul.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yeah.
Another swish, Terry. Thank you so much.
Oh,
for
good.
Yeah, these
and
are great.
And if you want to check her out, she has shows still this month. Yeah. New Glarus, Mount Horeb, Madison. You can find more at DanaPerryMusic.com.
Okay. Any dates coming up in the immediate area here?
Yeah, all of those are still in July.
Oh, wow.
And I know
okay.
we don't have much of July left, but New Glarus, nice. Mount Horeb, and Madison.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got confused. I thought you meant. Yeah, that's
okay. You were
week.
Still thinking about the conversation you want to have with
I
her.
I do. These are the things I'm going to bring up, you know. Terry, thank you so much as always. Have a great weekend. Try to find some time to get a little breather, will you?
You got it. And you too, Pete. Thank
All right,
you.
We'll
and
do.
Thanks, Aaron.
It's a Bar Band Friday night. That's our Bar Band pal, Terry Barr. Thank you also to Frank Anderson. Check out wisconsinology.com. And thank you for all your texts and calls. Thank you to Mr. Aaron Zommers. I hope you don't take any bad habits back to the Todd Alba Show. Aaron, have you been working with me?
I'll do my best.
Okay. Maybe. Did you develop a good habit, do you think?
I don't know. I did stop clipping my toenails over the boards.
Well, that's a callback from the other night. I love it. All right. Thank you to Aaron Zommers on behalf of everyone who's helped me out here this week in Madison. Thank you so much and have a great night, Wisconsin, and have a great weekend, everybody.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Four people are dead after a shooting at a high-rise office building in New York City. People along Park Avenue were shocked.
This is awful and devastating, and there frankly is nothing else to think but why couldn't this have been prevented? Why was this person allowed to get a gun?
Officials say the shooter died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Another scorcher on tap in the eastern portion of the country. This lifeguard in Wisconsin Rapids has found a way to cope.
I am burning up out here. On our breaks, we jump in from time to time, which is really nice for keeping us like cool.
The Coast Guard says two children from a sailing camp were killed in a boat crash near Miami that sent all of them overboard. CBS's Christian Benavides from Miami Beach.
Four of the children between the ages of 8 and 12 were taken to the hospital, three in critical condition. One child and the counselor were evaluated at the scene but were not hospitalized.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.